Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 48, Episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist for Friday, September 14th, 2018. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. In Western America, Hosnier, Jack O'Brien, the Zeit Gang, my man Miles Gray. We're going to give it up right there. That is courtesy of Captain Butt Napkin. Captain Butt Napkin, to answer your question, we have done that, a.k.a. we have done that song for an a.k.a. before, but I just really like your Twitter handle, and I wanted to say it out loud. So there we go. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Futures. Grade of virtual insanity now always seem to be governed. Miles, this love we have now.
Oh my God, wow. Jamiroquai in the building.
Virtual insanity.
Man, remember that a performance at the VMAs like in 97? I remember that shit, and then there's Mo Money More Problems. Anyway, that AKA came from the return of the AKA Queen Goddess Deity. Ooh. Upon High, Chapman Rice, at Chapman Rice, came back, blacked out 16 hours ago, or however long ago. Hit us with all those AKAs. Hope you're doing well.
Do we think that there's a chance that she is just like, she writes the stuff like literally blacked out and is just trying to get her life together, and we're like, come on, Chapman Rice, go back out there.
I don't know how I've envisioned it. I think sometimes
do harm to your life.
I picture of waking up in a cold sweat in the middle of sleep, like, and then just like doing it, like, yes, this is good. This
no,
is
they're
good.
Already written, just like on her lap after she wakes up.
Oh no,
well.
You've done it again.
We're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the host, co-host of the Guilty Pleasure podcast, the very funny Amanda Salvatore.
Hey, guys.
Hi. Hey.
What's happening?
Nothing much. I was going to ask you the exact same thing, you guys.
Not much. Just drinking about 20 ounces of cold brew.
That's too much cold brew.
I was wondering what that was.
You're not going to like this, then watch this.
Miles is taking just straight cold brew, the concentrate, straight to the dome. Ooh, about a big gulp's worth.
I only snort bass, homie. Don't cut that shit.
That is hardcore, dude.
Yeah, it's never been stepped on.
Oof.
Like,
well,
grass,
Amanda,
in Africa.
It's Miles is just gonna, at a certain point during one of our shows, there's just gonna be a hole that develops in his side, and it's just gonna come leaking out.
Just all the bile.
Yeah.
No. Stomach strong.
Very acidic. It's aliens.
It is.
Blood.
No, I alkalize my body. I alkalize my whole life.
Okay.
I'm really interested in body pH, you know what I mean?
Is that
really?
Why?
No.
Oh.
But I read about it. I was dating somebody who was like, yo, do you alkalize your life? I was like, I'm sorry, what?
Ugh.
And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, well, you know, acidity has a lot to do with your body. But it was just true. Like, I guess to a certain level, you don't want your body to be too acidic. Could be a sham. But I do know alkaline water is very good for you because I drink that a lot. And so does my family in Japan.
Mm.
Kangensui.
Nice.
Man, based on what I've heard, Her Majesty is really the best thing that's ever happened to you. Because
she is. I mean, she got me bathing.
Characters.
Yeah.
Showers are great.
Showers
man.
Are cool.
Congrats.
You know? I used to only go in for about 15 seconds.
How much more do you really
I thought soap
need?
Was for rich people.
All right. Amanda, we're going to get to know you a little bit better.
Please.
But first, we're going to tell our listeners just a couple of the things we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about the latest product offering from Urban Outfitters. Mm-hmm. Exclusively for alcoholics. We're
going to
be talking about how the DHS moved $29 million from the Coast Guard to ICE, a mainstream media just complete failure in how they're talking about Trump, talking about the deaths that happened as a result of Hurricane Maria. We're going to be talking Kavanaugh stuff. We're going to be talking Facebook. We're going to be talking the Me Too movement reaching McDonald's. And also just Nicki Minaj's losing streak. She's just on a weird losing streak. So we're going to talk about that. And also the fact that Superman has a recasting is in the works. But first, Amanda, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
I looked at my Google, and the last thing that I Googled was my name and my fiancé's name.
Ooh.
Yeah, because I cannot find our wedding website. I'm
planning
a wedding right now, and I don't know how the internet works.
Uh-huh.
So I had to do that to find it.
And you
got
to work
it.
On your SEO.
I don't even know what that is.
Search engine optimization.
Great.
Talk to me after this, and I'll give you a discount.
You let me know. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, did you have to like put a funny spin on it, or is it just your names together?
It's just our names together,
wow.
And I guess if you Google it,
wow.
Yeah, then you can find our registry and send us stuff.
Yeah,
thanks,
cool.
Guys.
You got a little honeymoon fund going? How are you doing? What are you doing?
I think we do. You know what?
I like the honeymoon fund.
I dig
personally,
it.
Because I'm bad at buying gifts.
Yeah.
So I'm like, here, just take the money.
A lot of people are getting us some like really random things off our registry, so I always appreciate a little bit of a honey fund.
Yeah.
Because that's an experience, guys. You gotta, pitchers break.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Oh, yeah.
Those plates
I can't tell you how many crystal pitchers I've broken.
So many.
Yeah.
Just so many. You just drop them on the floor on purpose. Like, why not?
Exactly. I got married in my 20s, and so all of my friends were in their 20s.
Oh, yeah, didn't have shit.
So they were just.
Like, a bunch of them didn't get us anything, or a couple of them, I should say. But the ones who, like, went off prompter. It was just like, yo.
Dude,
I mean, it's what you would expect from dudes in their 20s.
Right. They're like, dude, it's the ultimate basketball encyclopedia. 700 pages of basketball.
This is exactly what you need. That's exactly what you need to start your relationship. I actually had my first, what is it? A bridal shower.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm from the East Coast. I had a bunch of people here on the West Coast. And my cousin's wife bought me all these things, not on my registry. She couldn't access my registry, something like that. But she definitely got me lingerie.
Yeah.
As well as a candy bra.
Ooh.
And underwear, which, just FYI.
Candy underwear?
Candy underwear and candy bras do expire. I have 1 month for the bra. I have 2 years on the underwear. So.
Interesting.
Did she like put in a note like how to use it? Like he eats this off of your body.
Kind of like
it'll be sexy.
Dude, I was at a bachelorette party. I think the only one I've ever been to. And it was basically just me in the corner being like, hey, is that just like a candy necklace? Cool.
Right.
And just like
that's what it's made of, right? Like the candy necklace candy, right?
Yeah. Mm. That's all it is. So I got
fun.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Please.
For someone who has a wedding coming up. What's your hashtag going to be? Because I feel like that's the ultimate battle. Man, because there's
come up with one for me. I don't know.
What's your name? What's your fiance's first name?
Max.
Amanda Max. And do you mind saying his last name?
Spitolnik.
Spitolnik.
Wow.
That's a rough one, right?
All right, let me work on that. I'm going to workshop that one.
That was a good face.
Spitolnik?
Yeah.
Huh. Anyway, we'll work on
now
it.
Now everyone's going to look him up and be like, oh, okay. Cool.
This
guy. Spitolnik.
Hey,
now you guys can find my registry.
Yeah, registry. Get
I feel like
get her
should
bath
be
towel.
A cop.
Yeah. Spitolnik.
Yeah. Hey, Spitolnik, get in here.
Right.
Yeah.
Like
definitely
New York,
have like a mustache.
NYPD
right.
Blue, yeah.
Yeah.
It has an
what was
alcohol problem.
Homeboy's name in NYPD Blue? Who always showed his butt?
Witz.
Yeah, Sipowicz.
Yeah.
I can't believe you're marrying Sipowicz. What is something you think is overrated?
The summertime.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Thumbs down. I'm not a summer
Thumbs down on summer.
Not even overrated. Fuck summer.
Fuck summer, like, yeah. Dude. Mm-hmm. I don't like being hot. I know I live in California, but mm-hmm. I don't like it.
Okay.
Second.
Very humble.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like being hot.
I just don't like being, you know
it's
what I mean?
It's tough.
It's a hard life mm-hmm, that I lead. Mm-hmm. I don't like pressure to have a good time. I'll have a good time on my own time.
What do you mean? Like, you feel like summer
brings... I feel
like
everyone's like, you gotta go to the beach. You gotta go to this thing. You gotta go to a festival. I'm like, I'll
do whatever the fuck I want.
I'll do what I want. Yeah. And like, I just, I'm like a lake, mountain kind of gal.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. You know?
Lake mountain.
Uh-huh. I love a cabin. I like a blanket.
Love a cabin. Love a blanket. Love a jacket.
I love layers. Ugh. That's all about those layers.
Yeah, being a native, like when people are like, yo, I gotta go to the beach. I'm like, you fucking just moved here, bro. This is like your summer camp. I hate the beach. I only like the beach in like vacation. I'm so jaded when it comes to the beach. It's really a sad thing because we have a lot of great beaches in Southern California. But for whatever reason, like I have to be dragged to the beach.
I'm not a beach person. Yeah, you're just like, I've seen them all.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I get it. Water, waves, cool.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I went to a like a pool barbecue, a thing that I was told was a pool barbecue thing,
mm-hmm.
and I showed up in jeans and like a t-shirt,
right?
And, you know, like I wear to everything, and Jordans, and everyone was in like you know bathing suits. And I was just like, oh, you meant like a real pool?
Well, what
thing?
Is it? But how is that bad if you wear your clothes? You don't have to show up in a bathing suit
because
there's a pool there.
But it had that whole vibe of like the background to the Blurred Line song. Like it's like everyone's like, hey,
all right.
Yeah. Everyone's like laughing.
I'm not even going to dip my feet in the pool.
I just sat on a beach chair
sweating.
Someone
just playing clave on a fucking empty beer bottle.
Yeah, exactly.
It's okay. I'm not guy two at a pool party. I'm just
yeah.
Also,
then
I'm kind of
change.
I'm also kind of mad that there's a party where people are like, I said pool barbecue party, and you're dressed like it's just some fucking barbecue, motherfucker.
I was just, yeah, it was.
You felt that on your own.
I just felt that on my own.
Oh, come on,
yeah,
Jack. Go easy
everybody's
yourself.
Cool. What is something you think is underrated, Amanda?
Underrated, I think honestly, novelty flavored snacks such as Oreos. Being all different weird flavors. I feel like everyone hates on them.
Like wacky flavors?
Yeah. I love a sensible wacky flavor. I love
sensible,
the unicorn.
Wacky.
You know what I mean? I loved the unicorn frap. I loved it. I think they should make it a permanent staple.
What
I
was
love
the flavor?
The weird chips. It was.
Exactly.
I don't really know.
I thought just the color, right?
I think it's strawberry or something of that nature, something tart. And then the blue I know was mango.
The blue syrup. Mango.
Yeah, the whole point was that you could take this blue syrup with this pink drink, and you mix it up, and it turns purple, super magical. It was just like a tart. It tasted
pink
like a
pink powder blended into a creme frappuccino with a mango syrup.
Pink powder?
Yes. I love pink powder flavor.
My favorite flavor.
And layered with a pleasantly sour blue powder topping.
I loved it.
All very natural.
Speaking of like alkalizing my body.
What's the flavor palette? Blue and sour pink and mango.
Right.
And creme.
Guys, America.
Blue mango, though. I don't know why I accepted raspberry
blue mango.
As a blue
thing. It's just that the mango syrup is mixed into it. The blue is just some fucking shit in there.
Got
just
it.
Some blueness.
Yeah. But I'm not against a blue mango at this point.
I don't know why I would be. You're right.
Have you had the,
you're opening my
have
mind.
Have you had the apple pie Oreo?
No.
I just had
delicious?
That this week. Someone at a party had it out. And I was like, let me try this because I like Oreo. I'm into Oreos regular, but whenever I see a new one.
I need to come to parties with you.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's more my speed. Oreo parties.
Yes. If you want to come to a nice Rosh Hashanah dinner, just come through. And that's what we had. The brisket was also excellent. Shout out to Jay and Katie. But the apple pie one was actually fucking, it was weird because it had a very strong, like it was trying to mimic the taste of a fresh apple. So it almost was sour. Like it had this other element to it aside from like the cinnamon and typical flavors.
Yeah. Right.
But you know, once you eat one, you start eating three and then start
I've never
eating
met
four.
I've never met an Oreo I didn't like, you know? I want to try. They have Swedish fish.
They're not good.
And that, I don't,
oh, really?
I'm nervous
about
it.
But they are, I mean, if you if you like Swedish fish and don't mind mixing them with Oreos, like you could get the exact same effect by eating, putting a Swedish fish in your mouth with an Oreo, because that's exactly what it tastes
the
like.
The birthday cake one was fucking
so good.
Yeah.
Chocolate, I mean, and vanilla.
Yeah.
They're just, I feel like they are just excuses for them to add even more sugar to Oreos, because they're all sweeter than your average Oreo. And I love that.
Right.
I will take it.
Yeah.
I like the lemon ones. I like, I got some red velvet.
Lemon?
Ooh, the red velvet's so good.
I'm
red
sorry,
velvet
lemon?
Is good. Lemon Oreos.
They have the vanilla. It's okay. The vanilla wafer, though.
It's the
I don't
vanilla
think it's
wafer.
The chocolate.
Yeah, it's not chocolate. It's.
Oh, my God. I was just reading an article because I was like, Oreo flavors. And the U.S. doesn't have them yet, but in other places, they have a hot chicken wing Oreo.
Yes.
And a wasabi Oreo.
I want to do that so hard. I
mean, I'll
try
eat
it.
It's literally my two favorite foods. Doesn't sound like a tasty combo.
Yeah, I'm not all right with that.
No, ma'am.
But I'm not down to try anything.
Yeah, and right? That's the point of it.
But I could probably just spit it the fuck out. Like,
yeah. Right. I will say the grossest thing that I have tried in the novelty snack realm is the Sweet Heat Skittles. I would say avoid those.
Sweet Heat?
Yeah, real gross. Uh-huh. So it's all citrus flavors, but then they put like a pepper flavoring
right.
in there,
okay.
similar to like if you had mango with chilies
oh,
on it.
Okay.
But if you, I mean, I ate the whole bag because you have
yeah,
to.
Because you have to.
Commit to the
but
bit.
I hated every bite.
Hated right. it. But by the end, your throat hurts, similar to how if you've thrown up a couple of times.
Like the acidity?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Who doesn't know that esophageal burn?
Yeah. So if you're missing
acid.
That, get those Skittles.
Sweet Heat. Finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
That if you are bad in school, you will not be successful in the real world.
Yeah.
That's my, or that if you're really good at school, that you're going to have an easy time
right.
out in the real world. Yeah. I had a horrible time in school.
Uh-huh.
Terrible student, cannot regurgitate information to save my life. And I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
I'm living it.
I mean, you did pull up in a limousine.
I did. Yeah. I did. I have a top hat on and a monocle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very fancy.
But you can't read.
Yeah.
But who
can't
cares?
Read. I can't read. I pay people to read
yeah, exactly.
for me.
Yeah,
exactly.
For me.
Exactly. Right. So killing it, you guys.
Yeah. So what do you mean you struggle in school? Like you just had, you weren't a good, you just,
no,
the studying part was a little tough?
Yeah. I think, I mean, I was tested a ton, and I'm pretty sure I was misdiagnosed. I have some form of dyslexia
mm-hmm.
of some kind, and it's such a spectrum, but I couldn't read until third grade. Mm-hmm. I was held back in third grade,
wow.
which psychologically was great. loved it. Gives you character. But yeah, I mean, my SATs were shit. I don't even know what my grades were. My senior year of college, I don't know what my grades are. I had no idea.
Oh, you just bailed?
I didn't bail. I just didn't
like,
look.
Hey,
I was like, oh, I
didn't look.
I didn't look.
Hey, I'm going to go to graduation. Hopefully they call my name.
Here's hoping. I like knew I graduated. I was like, good enough for me. I went to school for acting. Like,
right.
I was like, I'm not going to use this. I'll use this. I'll read about the science in the play that I'm working on or whatever.
Right.
As long as my GPA was high enough that I still had an opportunity to be able to audition for the plays that we were doing and the musicals we were doing,
right.
I was happy with that.
Right.
I just knew that it wasn't going to be
yeah.
something that affected my day-to-day.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think that it's not necessarily about your grades. It's about the effort that you put into what you're passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
like just like don't be a dick.
That's
yeah.
exactly right.
Yeah. Very,
you know
at minimum.
Yeah. Like that's just like hustle for what you want.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, I'm in class all the time. I'm in writing classes all the time. I'll take like improv classes just to do it and like
mm-hmm.
have a good time. And that's, you know, something I'm passionate about. I'm like, yeah, I'll definitely go to school for that. I just
right.
didn't.
Right.
You know, I'm just not interested in learning.
Yeah.
About
well, academia
things.
Can do that and kind of get
yeah.
you down on yourself, at a young age, you know, when
yeah.
you start getting grades and stuff and you start thinking, like, am I bad at
yeah.
this? Am I good
oh,
at
yeah.
this? When like, yo, this, everyone learns at their own pace,
yeah.
takes in the world in their own way.
I needed to go to a hippie school, you guys, and I
right.
did not do it.
Where they're like, and Amanda's grade was blue.
yeah. I love a blue grade.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
And we love you. You've
hey.
Passed.
And that's not just true of people who go into comedy. That's also true of like a lot of, they've looked at doctors and the best doctors really have no relation to like where they were in their class and medical school and mm-hmm. stuff like that. It's based on like how they scored on empathy yeah. tests and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and it's
be a
just
good
how
person.
Passionate
I
mean,
look
you
at
are
the
about
fucking president,
bro.
This motherfucker's president.
Listen. Yeah.
He can't even color in a fucking American flag drawing.
No, wasn't that oh man.
Maybe he thought he was looking at a fucking unicorn frappuccino. I don't
Maybe
know.
Yeah. He was like mango's blue.
But yeah. he like quit halfway through, right?
Yeah, he's like, oh, this is bullshit. This right. is propaganda. The Dems fucking they framed me.
Because he
yeah.
started coloring one of the stripes blue, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and like a star. It's a mess. It's the whole thing's a mess. I mean, that's the least of our problems.
Yeah. Hey, news. Guys, just read, do a little bit of basic math, and be nice.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, have empathy.
All right. Let's talk about other signs of a winner. drinking in the shower. Am I right, everyone?
Yeah.
Miles, your response to this product made me realize like why I don't drink anymore.
Why?
Because you were like, oh man, like this, I can't believe they like, who needs to drink in the shower? I was like, yeah, who needs to do
oh,
that?
Shit, yeah.
I never drank beer in the shower. That's a crazy thing. But
right.
anyways, Urban Outfitters is hitting us with a wine glass holder for the shower.
Oh.
I mean, what's interesting, it's made for a stemmed wine glass.
Yes.
Because you're not a fucking disgusting drunk.
Right. Yeah,
you're classy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I wish they had the bottle holder right next to it, too, yeah. so you could do a nice pour mid-shower.
That also holds ice because you're not drinking that fucking rosé all hot.
Right. Exactly.
No, yeah, you're in a hot bath. You gotta
yeah.
cool that shit
it's
down.
Just,
it's funny because the design is very, it looks like a product for a teenager. Like, it's like a like light blue plastic thing. Like,
yeah.
It's got the same design vibe of like a my first leg shaving razor type thing.
My first
yes.
leg shaving razor.
No, it's like a light blue plastic
right, right.
thing, you know.
It's meant to feel very innocent.
Yeah, it's meant, well, and it doesn't like match with like nice wine glasses.
Right.
It's like, it's very.
Well, it plays very well with the color of the rosé wine.
Right. Mm.
But I guess this makes me
it
think.
It is appropriate that it is rosé wine.
Are we hitting like this peak wine fad, you know what I mean? Where it's just, you know, like it reminds me of the bacon fad. When
right.
there was like, yo, you got fucking bacon chewing gum. This is the big book of bacon. These are bacon socks. Fucking bacon, blah, blah, blah. And now we're into, this is fucking rosé, Jose. You want the rosé, whatever the fuck. Everything was like rosé, 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 rosé. And now we're looking at like, it's like a gift that I'm sure some people clearly might use in the, maybe for the bath or something. You could put that next to it. But
yeah, nice
showering.
And relaxing.
Yeah, it seems like more of like a gag gift.
I think it's a fun gift for like someone to give someone at their sprinkle, their baby sprinkle.
Right.
You know.
They're like, you're going to need this.
Yeah, you're going to need this, sister. Rosé, Jose. I like that.
I just want one for a rocks glass.
Yeah.
Like, why
for
are
the
we
real,
just, come on.
That's yeah. for fucking weaklings. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Wine.
How am I going to drink my fucking Yamazaki scotch like that?
Yeah, right, in my bathtub.
Right. So I don't know if we've hit peak wine because wine's been around.
I mean, not like peak
at
wine,
least
but
a couple years.
I guess what I mean is like rosé, because clearly this is the image that is on the Urban Outfitters site is meant to evoke the whole rosé thing. And you know, because and we talked about how rosé was like this manufactured fad.
Yeah.
Basically, like,
isn't
pushed
it just
on.
Red and white wine mixed together? I know nothing about wine.
It's a bunch
wine.
Of other shit. It's like, okay. like there are rosés, and there are other ones that are just like, yeah, just we like just you
right.
push this,
yeah,
and it worked. But I you know, hey, whatever you got to do.
Have
right.
you guys
all
tried the
of...
wine in a can yet?
I
know
that it's good, guys. It's good.
I'm sure it is.
It's great. It makes me feel like I'm not drinking wine, and then you get drunk, and you're like, how'd that
right.
happen?
But it still makes your teeth red.
Yeah.
Is it a 12-ounce can of wine?
No, it's just like a little, it's a baby. It's a.
Oh,
baby.
Come on.
Yeah. Well,
tell
I'm,
me, let me know when there's
I'm
a 40
fancy.
Ounces of wine.
Yeah.
Because what, it's like 30 in a bottle? Yeah, because a train took up from Starbucks can fit an entire bottle of wine in it.
Can it really?
Yes. It's like you drink it with a straw, my man.
That's amazing.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
I feel better. Now that you know that, I feel better about my drinking.
I just remember, well, no, it's just because I remember, well, fine, whatever. You guys can jump to whatever conclusion you want about how
it.
I know that.
I've done it. I would, 4th of July in New York City, you got to do the Firefly, what is it, vodka, sweet tea vodka with some lemonade, and you
okay.
just walk around the city and have yourself a wonderful 4th of July. No one
how
will
much
you.
Sugar is in that, though?
Probably.
Didn't it wreck you the next day?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I don't remember it, so needless to say.
But I do have this cool Latin Kings tattoo. Amor de rey.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And just, we were talking yesterday about how a lot of funding was being taken from FEMA, moved over to ICE, because that is where America's priorities are at these days.
Yeah.
Just to continue with that, the Department of Homeland Security has moved $29 million from the Coast Guard, who are about to be real handy when Florence hits, over to ICE again.
Yeah, this has been a whole thing. Like, it, in total, they've moved about $169 million from other agencies. So it's FEMA, the Domestic Nuclear Detection Office, some TSA programs. And this is all because, again, like we said yesterday, they just have to fund all these immigrant detention centers that we don't need. But clearly, you know, there are many businesses profiting off this. And we're at a point now where more than any other time in history, we have more children in immigration detention than ever before. So, yeah, I mean, again, I do want to clarify a little bit. Yesterday, when we were talking about the FEMA thing, that wasn't coming out of like the disaster relief fund, which is like the DRF, where like the actual money for each specific disaster goes to. But these other programs are the kinds of things that help train people to understand like logistical planning, to pre-stage like goods and things like that. So, I mean, just to be 100% claro on that, that's what exactly is going on. Now, with the Coast Guard, it's just a really odd thing because whenever we have these hurricanes, the Coast Guard is like the I think in Katrina they saved something like 30,000 people.
Jesus.
And in many other hurricanes and like in Sandy they were like saving people who were in capsized boats. There's a lot that goes on in the sea out there or near the water, or just people who have the capability and training to rescue people in water. So you know that's where our priorities are, and yeah, it's just another thing to think about when you go to the polls in November.
Mm-hmm.
Let this motivate you, every story.
Right. And just so people, this will probably give you an idea of when we're recording it, but Florence has weakened to, I think it's a Category 2 at this point. Winds are about 105 miles per hour. So it is weakening in terms of wind speed. It's still going to be a lot of water. So
yeah,
well, hurricanes are wet, you guys.
Yeah.
Just letting you know.
Very big
and wet.
Big and
it's very
wet.
Big, very wet.
Yeah.
Well, so,
at least he knows that.
Yeah.
You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. He figured that
out. He doesn't
out.
Know the colors of the flag, but
right.
At least he knows that water happens.
Right.
Great.
So another thing that the president, Donald Trump, knows is that.
Thank you for underlining that the president, Donald Trump.
The president, his name is Donald Trump, and he knows that it is a hoax that thousands of people died in Hurricane Maria.
Yeah.
He is accusing Democrats of inflating.
These are.
The Puerto Rican death.
This is what he tweeted. 3,000 people did not die in the two hurricanes that hit Puerto Rico. When I left the island after the storm had hit, they had anywhere from 6 to 18 deaths. As time went by, it did not go up by much. Then, a long time later, they started to report really large numbers, like 3,000. This was done by the Democrats in order to make me look as bad as possible when I was successfully raising billions of dollars to help rebuild Puerto Rico. If a person died for any reason, like old age, just add them onto the list. Bad politics. I love Puerto Rico. Now shut the fuck up, my man. Let me tell you something. This is such fucking... I can't wrap my head around this because there is no one around you that is backing you up on it. Even Paul Ryan's like, I don't disagree with those numbers about the death toll.
Right.
And he is so inept at his job. It's just getting like, I don't know. I feel like maybe it's wearing me down a little bit just to see this kind of blatant delusion and be like, they did not die. Tell that to any number of people who have family in Puerto Rico, who live in Puerto Rico. They're not going to be like, no, he's right. It was probably like 17 people.
Right.
And yeah. Then, yeah, somebody died of old age or whatever. And he's failing to understand the nuances of like the knock-on effect of a disaster where people have no access to their medical care that they need or power to for life-saving equipment.
Yeah. And I think that maybe they were counting deaths later in the disaster than they would typically be. But that's because the rescue and, you know, rebuilding was so fucked that Puerto Rico was still without power like 5 months later.
Yeah. So. And there's still parts today. I mean, there is a lot. Most of the power is returned, but they're still recovering.
Yeah.
And couple that with like the photos we saw yesterday or the day before of all those like millions of bottles of water just chilling on a tarmac that was supposed to be distributed. And like it's been there since last year.
No, they nailed it though.
Yeah. They nailed it.
They're doing a really great job. Real bang up job.
Yeah.
It's so disappointing and just so disheartening to see that because at some point, when is he ever going to admit anything?
He's not.
And he's just not going to. Like, if you can't admit this, I've lost all faith that there's... Right. I mean, I've lost it a while ago, but I mean...
Well, this is where the media had a total failure because this is... They're reporting this as a story rather than this motherfucker's lying about what the actual death toll is and trying to spin his guilt over his botched handling of this entire natural disaster and trying to frame it in some, like political smear job from the Democrats, which, and that's why when you look at the headlines, none of these outlets are really actually adequately describing the situation or giving us the information. It's more like they're just perpetuating what he's saying or giving it a little more weight. So like Politico said, Trump accuses Democrats of inflating Puerto Rico death toll. Huh?
That's one way of putting it.
CBS, Trump disputes hurricane death toll in Puerto Rico, blames Democrats for making him, quote, look bad. The BBC, Trump disputes Puerto Rico hurricane death toll. Now, I understand that
on its surface, that is a accurate description happened. Of what's yeah. happening. But that is almost making it seem like, oh, this is the explanation for what's happening. It's like, oh, Trump disputes the Puerto Rico death toll. It's right. not Trump is lying about it.
Right.
So
yeah. it know, was not the numbers that he's disputing were not collected by the Democrats or even put out by Democrats. They were put out by independent, you know, studies.
Yeah.
And the like, there's just no truth to any of the details of any of his claims. Like, so right. you'd think that they would, you know, have that reflected somewhere in the headline.
Yeah, and the New York Times, Trump rejects death toll in Puerto Rico, accusing Democrats of inflating numbers. In this headline, to someone who is, you know, completely not aware of what's actually going on, they're going to be like, whoa, that's crazy. The Democrats were inflating death toll. Like, you know, you're not getting the full story. So, I mean, you do have to give a shout out to CNN. And this is how you have to have these headlines. Trump falsely claims nearly 3,000 Americans in Puerto Rico, quote, did not die. Nice.
And that's what it actually is,
right.
as opposed to making it about Democrat versus Republican.
Yes. The situation is he is trying to obscure the facts. An NBC tweeted, breaking, President Trump rejects independent study that reports an estimated 2,975 people died in Puerto Rico in 5 months after Hurricane Maria, provides no evidence to discount the study, declares without evidence that the higher death toll is a political ploy to make him look bad. And AP also did a good job. Trump states without evidence that Puerto Rico hurricane death count
sounds
is plot
like
by
they're
Democrats. They're
caught
look
up
bad.
On this evidence stuff. And I think they just need to take a
Relax.
Step back and chill the fuck out.
But I wonder if that's too, like, the fatigue from the media, too, of just being like, when we write this, they know that that's just Trump denying it or whatever. Because
right.
I'm sure in the body of that thing, they're going to be like, you know, he had no evidence. But at some level, you have to still write the headline to accurately be like, because it almost feels like, you could read these shitty headlines as if they're like doing it all tongue in cheek. Like, yeah, Trump says Puerto Rico
right.
death toll inflated by Democrats. 3,000 people did not die.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
that would be amazing if that was their response. They were like, oh, I'm sorry. You're reading that all wrong.
No, it's like
it's
this.
Trump thinks.
Yeah.
Like, making a jerk off hand motion
right.
with their. Yeah, but you can't leave it implied when you are a.
Right.
The whole problem right now is that different people will read different headlines different ways.
Right.
And you need to just state on the surface, like, you know, this claim is with support, this claim is without support.
Right.
And it sounds like the New York Times has updated their headline to say that, like, he is disputing statistics reported by his own government. What was the other
New York Times
story
that
they changed like halfway through where they were like, oh,
what the fuck was it?
That makes us look bad.
Yeah, they do. They
That's
you know.
My New York Times voice.
Oh, I'm the New York Times.
It's old Gil from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, come on, Gil.
Oh, boy. So last week, there was a story everyone was talking about this Kavanaugh guy. And I guess that went away and it's over. I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't heard much about
it. It's over for unions, reproductive rights.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, yes, the sort of public portion that we got to see ended last week and was very heated. But there's a few things to consider. Angus King from Maine, he came out and said he would be a no for me dog on voting for Kavanaugh.
Who's that?
Angus King is from Maine. He's a senator from Maine.
A senator named Angus King?
Angus King, and he is an independent. But so it's not really that big of a deal because he typically caucuses with Democrats, and he actually does. So he was always probably going to be a no.
Yeah.
But
wasn't there a question about another Maine politician?
Yes, so
who is
Susan Collins.
Come on, Sue.
She is going, now that, you know, I think now people are going to be like, so what you going to do? What's good? What's good, Susan?
Right, the independent in your state.
I mean, just please, you know, she this week was like, you know, there are a lot of groups who are saying, if you vote to confirm him, we have over $1 million that we will give to whoever is going to challenge you
right.
to make sure you get the fuck out in 2020. And she was like, oh, that's a bribe or some shit.
No, it's
And it's like,
just...
no, it's not a bribe. Those are people who are being like, do yeah. the right thing. If not, we will ensure that you do not continue to have a vote in the Senate. That's
yeah.
it's very clear.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's some Democratic pushback on Kavanaugh in the form of, like, written questions. Can you explain this process to us?
Yeah, well, they wanted to submit even more follow-up questions because they're like, yo, we don't have these documents. The Republicans basically blocked all their requests to subpoena more of these documents. They're like, no.
Right.
So they had over 1,000 written questions for Brett Kavanaugh to answer. Because they're trying to do a lot procedurally to kind of gum up the process to delay it. But as it stands, the vote will probably take place on September 20th.
depending on if, you know, if like people like Lisa Murkowski or Susan Collins come around to reality and vote no, he could be confirmed in time for the new session. But yeah, so they had 1,000 written questions, and it was everything from, like, you know, follow-ups on his views on executive power to, like, what was that, like, abortion-inducing drugs quote? What the fuck were you saying there? Getting a lot more information on that. And
he
also
described contraception as abortion-inducing drugs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Okay. And then they were also asking, they're like, what's up with all those fucking tickets you bought? Like $200,000 in Nationals tickets.
Right.
Yeah. And you're like, do you have a gambling problem? Apparently was like a line of questioning addressing that. And his like response was like, I've been a lifelong Nationals fan. I've been like a season ticket holder for 13 consecutive seasons. I've seen every postseason game. And
is he only 13 years old? Because they used to be the Expos.
He was a huge Expos fan before that.
Right, right. He had a really big, you know, growth spurt.
Yeah. And so it wasn't much of an answer. And then he was like, I don't have a gambling problem. I've never played in a, quote, fantasy league.
So, is that a bad thing? Like, if you played in fantasy sports?
No, I think unless maybe the questions, I haven't seen all the questions, unless they were trying to be like, have you been in any kind of sports gambling league, including fantasy money, probably type of thing?
Yeah, I guess that is illegal.
Yeah, I mean,
when you play fantasy for money, that's not like through the fantasy for money websites.
Yeah, yeah. Right. But, you know, I have a feeling he may have had a little problem with gambling.
Who knows? A significant amount
of
money.
I don't know. He had like, what was it, like $200,000 in debt basically over time with baseball tickets?
He's like, what, I'm going to watch all those games without action on it?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, exactly.
You think I'm going to coach my daughter's teams without a little action on it? Come on.
Which brings up my other thing we were talking about. I was like, I don't know about you, but every youth basketball coach I had was fucking shady
as fuck.
Or a weird dude.
Yo.
At least for a boys' basketball. I can't speak for girls' basketball. I feel like maybe they probably have to have your shit together, but I don't know. My experience with youth.
I don't know, you guys.
Did you play youth basketball?
I did play youth.
Did you have weird coaches?
I played all the sports. They were just usually dads.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I have a couple that were. The ones that weren't were like grifters.
Right. Lifelong, like, the coach who has been with the team for beyond when his kids were playing.
Right. Yeah. Still coaching. Right. I had one coach be like, yo, I need your parents to give me $20 so I could buy all the snacks up front for y'all. We're going to have orange slices and Gatorade and stuff. Yo, tell me why the first game comes. And he was like, ah, shit, I forgot it at home. And we gave this dude, like, between everybody on the team, he had like fucking like $500 for that. And then he did another thing. He was like, I'm starting an ARC basketball team. Give your parents to give
that's
me like $50.
California.
Yeah, like, you know, like, we're gonna do this club thing.
Right.
Money fucking vanished.
Uh-huh. Did you ever get the orange slices?
No.
Oh, my
and,
God.
You know, sad thing though, like, years after he was fired from my like elementary school, like in eighth grade, by the time we were about to leave our junior high, he saw like one of our last football games, but like he was homeless and he was like on the other side of a chain link fence,
oh,
like watching,
God.
And everyone was like, oh my God, is that Coach Danny?
Damn.
And yeah, it was
Coach
a very sad
Danny,
story.
Coach Danny, but also he like stole money from you. For
he stole money, but you know, I don't want to see anybody get to, you know,
fair.
Such dire straits.
Sure.
But I guess bottom line, I think from like, you know, rec leagues and things like that, sometimes, you know, basketball coaches have been kind of weird.
Maybe if you had worked on your left a little harder, Miles.
Well, he always knew. He was like, when I had the ball, he'd be like, yo, just have him go left. He ain't got no left.
You
got no left.
You'd say that about you.
Like, I'll cross over though. Also, my hockey coaches were pretty stand-up guys.
Yeah. I think
they just screamed a lot.
Youth basketball. There's something about that. Anyways, the offer is open. We will play any of the two girls that Kavanaugh has coached in 2-on-2.
Yeah, 2-on-2.
His daughters, or he could pick the two best players if they're not the two best players.
He's like, Shamiqua Holtzclaw and Cheryl Swoops.
No,
and
he
hasn't
coached them.
The other thing too about Kavanaugh, one last thing, which is actually probably the biggest news, is Dianne Feinstein announced that she had received a very cryptic letter from someone who was asking for immunity that had something to do with Kavanaugh's nomination, and that to honor her anonymity, she handed this letter over to the federal investigative authorities.
Right.
And a lot of people were like, what the fuck is that about? And I think HuffPo was mentioning that the letter has something to do with a decades-old incident involving Brett Kavanaugh and a woman. So we don't know what that looks like.
Yeah. The Democrats, this is another instance where they're implying some shit.
Right.
Like, with their questioning, with their line of questioning.
Yeah, because
like,
I don't even know the gambling thing, if that's really a thing, but he could just be reckless with his money and buy his overpriced tickets. But
and then there was also the whole thing about whether he met with a lawyer from Trump's lawyer's firm.
Right, right, right.
There was no payoff on that. So I don't know. I'm just hoping that there is something there and that they're not just doing this to kind of gum up the works, because the Democrats have facts and shit on their side. They don't need to.
I have a feeling when Kamala Harris was like, and did you meet with them? Because she was like, now think about this when you answer.
Yeah, she's
badass. Yeah, that, I have a feeling there's a receipt that cannot be exchanged for a refund.
Right. Okay. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zy Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And we're talking about California Dreams.
That classic.
The hot saved by
the... Wait, was it that? Hold on, let me make sure.
I want to know the show now.
the people who answered the question, you know what's wrong with Saved by the
Bell?
Yeah,
California Dreams.
Too many dorks.
From 92 to 96.
Hot people. Hotter, hot people.
Can I see
people.
The picture? Now I want to know.
So Facebook is garbage and everyone should leave.
Yeah.
The end. And no. So Facebook, there's a couple of things coming out recently. First, Narc Sucker Nerd has a big fake news problem on his platform. And he tried to make it better by hiring all these legit fact checkers to vet, you know, the most highly circulated stories. This seems like just the obvious fucking, you know, solution to all of their problems.
Right.
Except the right is not having that shit.
Well, yeah, because he had like people who do fact checking for a living and come from like think tanks that are like about journalistic integrity, like, you know, PolitiFact or factcheck.org. But conservatives were like, well, hold on. All they do is just call out all these conservative articles. This is not fair.
Yeah.
This is bullshit.
Right.
Because that's not fair.
Essentially, because
this is no, these are what we're saying is true. So he caved. And now the Weekly Standard, which is a fucking very conservative, you know, co-founded by Bill Kristol site that has all kinds of op-eds, like, you know, fucking Fucker Carlson writes in there from time to time. They have them doing fact checking on stories that are from the left, and they've like they were putting like certain articles having like liberal bias that didn't at all, purely because they were just taking things literally from like a headline and being like, well, that literally didn't happen, so this is a lie, without taking nuance into it, without actually going over like what the story was about, and just simply slapping that on. And then Facebook actually put that up there and like, this is kind of shady.
Yeah.
And it was causing a lot of problems because it brings up this whole thing of like, why is he caving to this whining? Because when they're actually fact checking these stories from like far right websites that are actually dealing in non-fact and misinformation, that's because that's what the facts are. Yeah.
Right.
But then to go and be like, well, let them have their weird like right-wing rag take a look at it. Of course, they're going to try and obscure things or just mischaracterize a lot of articles that are critical of some of the right-wing politics. But yeah.
Remember when things were just listicles? Wasn't that nice?
Yeah.
You're telling me, sister.
Oh, my God. I miss, like, just being, like, having my family members, like, wishing me happy birthday who I haven't heard from.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it should just be.
Or just quizzes. Like, which?
I'm off. I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do it anymore. Because the thing is the gaslighting is constant. And if you allow people to just pouty dance and be like, that's not right. What about me? It's like, that's not what this is about.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Like,
if I'd use that argument as a kid where I'm like, well, that's not fair.
Yeah.
You know, my teacher said to me, I had a teacher who, whenever we said this in her class, she'd go, that's not fair. She'd say, you know, life is not fair.
Mm.
And dead any complaint we had as kids. And we learned real quick not to complain about shit like that.
Yeah.
But I think the thing is that I think just because they're so noisy about it and they think that because they've misled so many people who are of their thinking, to come out and be like, well, yeah, Facebook is censoring or whatever. I mean, they are doing that to even far left things too. Don't get me wrong. But we can't actually have a touchstone for like what is actual fact, like a foundation for reality for both sides to agree upon.
Yeah.
Because if their version of fact, which is usually misinformation, is called like, then they're saying, well, that's a liberal bias. We're completely restructuring and reframing this conversation about like liberal versus conservative when we're talking about fact versus fiction.
Yeah.
And it's a slippery slope.
Yeah. There's a New Yorker article where Evan Osnos, one of their best writers, got access to Zuckerberg and the Facebook campus for like the last year, basically. And it's pretty interesting. There's like a couple really alarming things where you see Zuckerberg like knows about all those problems happening in like India and overseas. And he's like, yeah, well, I hate that this problem's happening and we're working on it, but we've got to hire the right people. And it's just like he deals with everything in the same way where he's like, I acknowledge the problem, but however, on this other thing, and there's no DEFCON one, like, you know, this, we need to get shit done. Like we're in an emergency situation. And they point out that it's probably, you know, he has been in this industry that is criticized by outsiders, like his testifying on Capitol Hill, like in front of all of these senators who don't know what the fuck they're talking about. is part of the problem, because he has spent his life being criticized by people who don't have the knowledge base to actually make good criticism. So he just has this mode of dealing with criticism, and that he applies that even to when people are making good points, essentially,
right,
is one of the arguments in the article. But I mean, just a couple of the memorable details. Facebook has more users than Christianity does at this point.
Users.
Yes.
Hey, I'm a frequent user of Christ.
Yes. And the design of Christianity is so simple and intuitive.
I'm so fucked up off salvation right now, fam.
But all about that Jesus
all
juice,
about it,
right?
Yeah, all about that.
It has the most customers an American company has ever had in the history of, wow, like, capitalism. And that is the result of something. So in 2007, they basically saw the size of their user base plateau, which had been like, it was the same size that other social networks like MySpace, like all other social networks had hit this one size and then just like not been able to grow any larger. And so Facebook basically made their business a cult of growth. Like, they had a growth team that was like the cool smart kids on campus, and everybody like was just like wanted to know what the growth team was up to.
How do we grow it? How do we grow it?
That was it. It was like a very single-mindedness of focus to the whole company. And he basically, I think the best and most clarifying line in the article is, the cult of growth leads to the curse of bigness, because all of their problems can be seen as just size related. Like,
right,
you just have so many people now that you can't regulate all these problems. And they're trying to solve the problem of like, what is hate speech? What is free speech? And Zuckerberg specifically says at a certain point, like, you know, we used to be able to write an algorithm to spot a nipple. And like, that was easier to stop pictures that had nipples in them.
Right.
Nipples are very offensive,
yeah,
guys.
Very
Nazis, but Nazis, I'm
right,
just saying.
But you can't write an algorithm to stop Nazis. So
that's fair.
That is the problem.
Just kick them off. Wait, when did they open up Facebook to people who didn't have a college email?
Yeah.
I think it was before 2007. It must have been like 2000.
I think it was around that time.
Because I graduated, not to date myself, but 2008. And I think maybe 2008 or 2009 is when
something around there. Because I remember feeling salty about it. Because I was like, yo, you can't get Facebook unless you got that .edu. That proper college email. And then when like they let all these motherfuckers
and then
your
in. Mom gets it.
I was like, why did I go to college then? I did it just to flex on Facebook.
Right.
But yeah, I wonder if that, I'm sure that must have factored into it. Like, yeah, when they hit that plateau, or like, oh, well, we're only limiting it to college students.
Yeah. And then like after that, after you're done with college, what's the use for it?
Right.
You know what I mean? If it's only going to be available for college students.
Cut to 2016.
I can't imagine they were like, how do we solve this size problem? They were like, what if we allowed people who weren't just college students?
Yeah.
I think it was
in?
After that they had the issue because... Yeah, like they said that a big thing was hiring people who spoke other languages and just making it more user-friendly to other countries. And basically.
2006, September 26,
right.
2006, when they opened it to everyone age 13 and older with a valid email address.
There you go.
Boom.
How do you even like know if a kid is 13, though? Do they just click a box? Is that how you do it?
Miles, you're good at that, right?
Sorry. You're good at guessing people's ages,
I'm
right?
I'm great at guessing people's ages, and do not watch any past episodes of To Catch a Predator. No, that's a joke. But I'm pretty sure it was just like, put in your fucking birthday.
Yeah, right. Your AOL email.
Yeah. Yeah. Like when I used to look at liquor websites in like high school, and they're like, what's your age? And I'd be like, 1969.
What would you find on liquor websites?
I was really into Hypnotic.
Liquor,
and I remember like there was
what is Hypnotic?
Hypnotic was that blue
like
shit.
Blue
it looked
tropical,
like blue
passion
shit.
Fruit.
You mix it with Hennessy, it was Incredible Hulk. And like I was fucked up because it was in all the rap videos, and I was like, yo.
So you were just trying to buy it?
Well, I was trying to, at first, I was like, what is this?
Oh,
you know what I mean?
It's blue, because
I saw
it's
in
the,
yeah, because I saw it in videos, and like, I wasn't really around liquor stores enough to quite put it all together. And
it's
like,
mango-based, right?
It's probably just, it's unicorn frap-flavored drink.
Right.
It basically took the spot of Alizé.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's the same sort of very fruity shit.
But it's blue.
Yeah, exactly. And that color had people being really into it.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I remember I thought Facebook was going to be the solution to all of the internet's problems when it was first like hitting, because it was like so much of the internet was just anonymous trolls.
Right.
And like, mm-hmm. so people connecting themselves to, like, that was right. something that had happened over in Korea that helped make the Korean internet a better place to exist, is because like they just made it mandatory that you connect your like online activity to who you were as a person and like
right.
basically your citizen ID. And so I thought Facebook was going to do that, but turns out,
yep.
as we saw in that comment section yesterday, where it was all Facebook people commenting under their Facebook identities and just being super racist, people just don't give a fuck.
No.
No, everybody thinks they can do whatever they want now.
Yeah.
They just have a mouthpiece for it. I just miss the Facebook that if you wanted to go and look at somebody's Facebook, you had to go to their page and that was it. There was no updating system,
right,
like the,
right.
that when Twitter came out, and like there, you know, you have that stream of just what people are freaking thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now everyone's like, well, I can comment on that. If
right.
you just, I can't read a comment section even at like goodhomemagazine.com.
Yeah.
Like it's
yeah.
just a bummer. I just
yeah.
refuse to read any comments.
Yeah.
Section.
Their thoughts on Wicker are
yeah. just aggressive
so yeah.
and rude.
I know.
Not very
I, for
nice.
One, still love rattan furniture.
I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah. I don't even, I can't stand Facebook anymore in general. I don't
I'm
use
done.
It. So don't try to find me because I don't use it.
I'm going to find you.
Okay.
No.
That's fine.
One of the things the article said, though, is they're buying Instagram at the time was like seen as completely overpaid for it. And now it's viewed as like the smartest purchase in the history
right.
of like online retail, or like in the history of
online retail since I
Silicon
bought that,
Valley.
That donut pool floor.
Yeah, not online retail.
Yeah.
In the history of Silicon Valley. All right. McDonald's. It's really stepped in it this time, guys. So McDonald's is apparently a terrible place for women to work.
Who would have thought?
Surprise, surprise.
Who would have thought? I mean, you could say that to insert any company or industry
right.
there
say,
in this
everywhere?
World. Yeah.
So 10 female employees are filing sexual harassment complaints against the company in 9 different cities, and they've started the hashtag MeTooMcDonald's. One of the victims is a 15-year-old whose complaints were just completely ignored. And it just seems like there is a, you know, it sounds very similar to CBS. It's just there's a culture of people being sexually harassed and them complaining and just management ignoring it,
yeah.
or management being the harassers themselves. And, you know, it's a huge company. It's a hard thing to police, but they do not have the necessary policies in place to protect female employees.
Right. Well, I think it's not necessarily specific to either a CBS or a McDonald's or anything. It's just sort of this culture that we have in the world, essentially.
Yeah.
Where now we're trying to actually have a reckoning for this to show people that that's inappropriate, and then
yeah.
you cannot treat people like that, and just that sexual deviancy in the workplace or that kind of behavior is a no-no. But yeah, I think with McDonald's, there's a gigantic company, and they can kind of hide behind that franchise argument, right, where they're sort of like, well, these are franchises, and we have policies as a company, but
right.
Yeah.
I think this ultimately lies with the store,
within
the franchisee.
The store. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But I think even then, like, that's even a legal jump that they've even had trouble making, because
yeah.
I think some courts
legally
have viewed them.
They're saying you at least have the responsibility as like a co-owner of this business,
right?
If you're licensing out your brand and giving them,
I'm glad
you know.
That they're getting the word out, though. I know when the Me Too movement hit, and I was in a writer's room, and it was like, this is the industry it happens in, the casting couch,
right?
And like, this is like has been always happening, and blah 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 blah, and it's. Not an isolated incident. It happens just to women in
right.
general,
yeah.
and men as well. But like it doesn't matter where you work.
Yeah, it's not
if
an industry
you're a lower,
thing,
yeah, it's not an industry specific thing. And if you're just a lower level employee, it's not to be expected. It shouldn't be expected. But like that's the people that are taken advantage
yeah.
of, because that's really what it is. This is a shift of power and like having power over somebody.
Yeah,
yeah. If anything,
just, it's a societal issue.
To
yeah,
give detail, because I do think it's kind of important to like get a sense of just how fucked up it was. Workers reported having their breasts and posteriors grabbed and hearing obscene comments about their appearance and sexual orientation from bosses and colleagues. Some workers were shown pornographic images by their supervisors. In one instance, a woman's boss texted her offering her $1,000 for oral sex.
Jesus.
And the women complaining don't want money. They just want McDonald's to fucking do something.
Right.
And a really interesting, to tie it to the Me Too movement, they are this group that is bringing this case and, you know, organizing this strike, are being funded by the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and that was their mission from the start, too. They were like, this is the first jumping off point is Hollywood, but anyone, anybody who needs legal help to pursue any kind of justice, hit us up. But so there's gonna be a strike, I think, right?
Yes.
They're organizing a strike.
They're organizing a strike in, I think, 10 different cities.
Nice. Good for them, man.
Yeah. And hopefully McDonald's doesn't try any shit, you know. Hopefully they recognize that this, because they did, McDonald's did turn their golden arches upside
That's
down
true,
that one time to celebrate women. So
well,
we know
well,
that
I
they
felt
are,
celebrated for
right.
sure, let me tell you.
Yeah.
We all did.
That was important. I think that everybody remembers where they were when they first heard that McDonald's
happened,
was doing that.
Which is like right now, the first I've ever heard of it. Why can't people just say like, oops, like, okay, how do we help? Like, how can we help? Like, mm-hmm. take responsibility. It just feels like everyone is constantly skating around taking responsibility and putting it on everybody else but themselves. And you're just like, just do the right thing, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll fare much better if you just go, oh my God, that is a problem. We don't agree with that. We'll do everything in our power to correct it rather than like, well, I don't know. It's like a franchisee. And I think that's probably more corporate liability than anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Like McDonald's is a lot of people's first jobs. Like,
right.
Think about like the damage that that's doing, that like your first impression of the workforce is your boss like texting you that, you know,
offering you money for oral sex.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you imagine just
treating
being
you like a fucking prostitute,
like
or
look
a
at these,
sex worker?
Yeah, like look at this porno. Like, what? How do you even get there?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Well, that sounds like some 16-year-old shit though too. We're like, yo, look at this fucking picture I just saw. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which you have to also think of like the age range of people that work in a McDonald's too. Like, because it is your first, you're also dealing with very immature people.
Yeah.
But I'm sure also, but just on up to the adults who do it too.
Yeah.
Regardless of your age, you should know what the basics are.
Don't do that.
Of how to behave in a workplace or just in life in general, right?
And the women knew it was fucked up enough to report it, and the people they were reporting it to should have known enough to take it seriously.
Yeah.
Henry Cavill, Superman himself, Mr. Mustache from the latest Mission Impossible movies, I think that is his name, is being recast. They are no longer going to have him play Superman. So I've been paying attention to his performance as Superman from the start, because I remember like reading on some like industry blog or something that they were having to delay the production of his first Superman movie because they were having to like cut around him because he just like his performance wasn't all there. And so I've always looked out for that, and it does seem to be true that like they have to like cut away like at a time when you'd expect a reaction shot, they're like showing his back and you're just like, wait, what the fuck is happening? But I do think also this is not an easy role to play. Like, it's like
an alien with superpowers.
Yeah, just like
whose powers are enhanced by Earth's yellow sun.
But you just like kind of be blandly handsome with like a little half smile on your face all the time,
and an impossible little curl coming down.
Right. And
well, did he have the curl? Did he rock the curl? Like,
oh yeah,
he did.
I think so.
He better.
I think he had it at various points.
Like C. Reeves?
Also, interesting thing. Did you know that they switched the side that his part was on when he went from Clark Kent to Superman?
He has time to comb his hair?
Well, it was just an automatic switch because apparently it's like a cooler look to have the part on like
the other side.
Yeah. So it's basically if you're combing your hair with your right hand, that's the side you're like dragging it to your own right. That's like more the Superman look, whereas Clark Kent has it on the opposite side.
So what does that mean?
Just means that...
He's super left?
No, it just means don't comb your hair to the side that Clark Kent had it, because they were like, look at this goofy bastard. He's got his hair combed to the side.
Well, the reason, though, they're recasting, right, is they're going to focus more on Supergirl.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're prioritizing Supergirl over Superman, which I'm fantastic, because done with
that original Supergirl movie, you guys.
I heard
from
it
the 80s. So good.
I don't remember it. I just remember the VHS box and being like, that looks actually pretty good.
I'm pretty confident she, like, I watched it a ton when I was a kid, and I think she, like, flies in outer space at some point. She may change the rotation of the Earth. I may be making
standard
that up.
Super shit.
Yeah. She was awesome. She, you know, I dug it. So looking forward to it.
I'm waiting when they're going to wake up and call her Superwoman.
Right.
But yeah. I don't know. Girl. That's just me. Well, I don't know. Is she a teenager?
I don't know.
No, she checked the box that she was 13 to get a Facebook. Who knows? Right. Who knows, guys?
Good enough.
Good enough. I got my AOL account all set up.
Oh, okay, because I guess the lore is that at 12 years old, Kara Zor-El escapes doom on Krypton to find protection on Earth.
Oh.
But Superman was a child when he
was
came.
A baby.
Oh, that's true.
We don't still call him
Superboy.
Yeah,
Super so was he turning up?
Super
right away.
When did he turn into Superman? Was this like a Jesus thing? He was like, I'm 33.
He could fly. I don't know. I didn't watch Smallville, so I don't know.
There's a part of Man of Steel where he's like running through cornfields.
Oh, yeah,
and, like,
he knew,
taking
right?
Giant leaps.
Right.
He like move. Doesn't he like lift something up? Maybe
always.
That's the old movies. I haven't watched any.
They're
all,
but
new
I mean, these
stuff.
Are just all Superman tropes. I'm like, I think the Earth spins the other way, and at one point, lasers shoot out his eyes or hers. I'm
yeah,
conflating them all.
I know that there's like there. He lifted something up, and
right.
That's how they found out.
We do have some important breaking news about the upcoming elections. Nicki Minaj has endorsed Andrew Cuomo.
Yeah.
So adjust your expectations appropriately.
I don't know what the fuck this tweet was.
It's just
she tweeted,
what's the tweet?
So strange.
She tweeted with like, okay, New Yorkers and all NYCHA residents, New York City Housing Authority, aka people who are
right.
in city housing,
this
aka
is clearly written by Andrew Cuomo's
right.
staff.
NYCHA, anyway, residents, it's time to get justice. Vote Thursday, September 13th for Governor Cuomo, Lieutenant Governor, and blah, blah, blah. He said they know how to work for the people. To make New York even greater, spread the word. See you at the polls. Now, that was like a kind of a weird Trumpy ending to that.
Right.
But
he can never use great ever again or greater.
I know, right? Yeah.
He can't do it.
Cynthia Nixon needs to get
Cardi B.
Well,
I think someone was trying to court Cardi B. It was like, well, if Nicki's over there, Cardi,
right.
What's good? But this week, yeah, I think Amy Schumer also endorsed Andrew Cuomo, which makes sense. I mean, she's Chuck Schumer's cousin, so I think she's pretty well known with powerful New York Democrats.
Yeah.
But Nicki Minaj, I'm like, what did he do to get that tweet?
It's just,
I don't know.
Oh, he just paid.
Yeah, I know, but like, it's, what are you doing, Nicki?
Yeah,
not,
I don't know, man.
I mean, Cynthia Nixon is clearly the actual progressive candidate in this. But, you know, hey, who knows? Who knows?
Nicki may sway it, guys.
Yeah.
I just, the New York, the NYCHA residence thing is really
odd.
That's like
NYCHA
being like, hey, the hood.
Residence. Yeah, it's.
Are you in public housing? Go vote for Andrew Cuomo. I'm Nicki Minaj.
Hey, hi.
It's like, what the f-
It is I, Nicki Minaj.
And she's complaining about payola. Okay. One thing I'm actually excited about is 25 years ago, Conan O'Brien had his first episode of Late Night with Conan O'Brien.
You just found out about that?
I've just found out about this. You guys hear about this? This Conan O'Brien?
You guys hear about this?
He went to Harvard, apparently, and wrote on The Simpsons. Yeah, they made his first episode available online, but here's the deal. They're going to bring the archive of like almost 3,000 episodes to come in January. And I don't know about you, but when I was a young teenager watching late night TV, late night was like one of my favorite shits to watch with this all the dumb characters, and it just appealed to my shitheaded sense of humor as a kid. But so 3,000 episodes, I'll go through them.
Yeah, where are they putting it up?
The first episode is on YouTube, so it might be also on YouTube, like just on the Team Coco page. I'm not entirely sure what the full plan is, but hey. Things fell off for him when he took Jay Leno's spot, so I'm glad that they've preserved the best parts of Conan.
Dude, that's exciting. I haven't seen any of that, so.
Never seen any of
early Conan?
I later on, I've seen segments. I've never
right.
been, like, a late night person. I always just wake up and I'm just like, here's
right.
a clip that I
more
need
of
to
a
see.
Today Show, Matt
more,
Lauer.
Yeah, more like, you know, Hoda and Kathy Lee with my wine glass that's attached to
Ladies.
My bathtub.
Right.
You know, just getting drunk at 10 in the morning.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, he wasn't really even on my radar until everything started happening, and he did that whole be kind and work hard speech. And I was just like, okay, I will. Right. Of course. I'm on the bandwagon.
He has good philosophies on creativity. Early on in his career, he said, like, his one philosophy is, if you have a talent, give it away as much as possible. And
what do you mean? Like, do shit for free?
Yeah, or like give
hell no.
Like, people, I remember.
That's a sucker philosophy.
Like, working with freelancers back at Cracked, like, the people who were like, well, I'm keeping that joke, and like, that's my, like, being proprietary about their work.
As
opposed to people who are just like, yeah, like, I'll contribute
vibe.
And just like, be open and giving.
Yeah, I mean, it's a basic rule. You put that good energy out, it's coming back to you, baby.
Right.
Exactly. The fucking universe will reflect that shit back onto you.
Well, Amanda, it has been a pleasure having you here. A guilty pleasure, almost.
Way to get that in there.
Way to do it. Way to get it in there.
Where can people find you?
Sure. So you could find Guilty Pleasure podcast on iTunes and all places that you get your podcasts. Mm-hmm. We're on Campfire Media. Me and my host, my co-host Jackie Ray Abell, who is on one of your episodes. So basically, we just interview a bunch of people, including you guys, about their guilty pleasures or something that they're super duper passionate about.
Yeah, and ours was on golden era hip hop.
It was amazing. I learned so much.
Used to do
musical theater. Used to be.
Well, you better start giving that away for free.
You know what I mean?
Hit us with a little ditty. Give me a little four bar.
I gotta get paid. Team Coco. So yeah, and you can find us on Instagram at Guilty Pleasure Podcast. You can find me at Amanda Salvatore 902 on Instagram as well. I don't do the tweets, you guys. I gave it up about a year and a half ago. I'm working on
self-care. It's all about self-care.
You know, glass of wine in my tub.
Glass of wine in my tub, my Twitter.
Ignoring it completely.
Exactly.
Is there a work of social media creation that you've been enjoying of late?
Usually
we ask people if there's a tweet, but
it
sounds like
had a tweet. I had a tweet from Jackie that I like.
Okay,
Let's do that.
Let's check that
Bring them out.
I'll check out her tweets because I enjoy her as a human, as well as just a person in general. Okay, what is it? I saved it because I don't have Twitter even on my phone. I took a screenshot. So it is, what's your love language? Mine is subtly pointing out all the ways someone can improve. That's Jackie's. So go on her Twitter. It's, what is it? Jackie is awesome. AWUESOM, and like that tweet, y'all.
Like
it's a good one. I think that's a thing you're supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
Right. Do it.
Like it and love it.
Miles.
Yeah.
Where can people find you, and what is a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh God, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I don't know. I'm talking like this at Miles of Gray, and a tweet I'm liking is Reductress. Another one with just a laser shot to my heart. It's a picture of a man on a laptop with a nice little beard, dressed like kind of, you know, youth millennial hip dude, looking back, and it says, nice, this guy has 3 podcasts and no toilet paper. We're out here.
I know that guy.
Yeah.
You can find me at @Jack_O'Brien. A couple tweets I've been enjoying. At Righteous Booby, RB on Twitter, tweeted, I love when folks say balling. BALLING when they mean bawling, BAWLING. The visual of someone being so sad that they can't help but shoot some hoops is just too good. Which I like that. I also like the visual of people just who are openly weeping, but like are really hungry too. So they're like eating well. Never.
It's weird.
Melanie at Polite Melanie. Tweeted, criticizing Trump in a book is just unfair. It's like criticizing the Amish on television. And finally, Anna Dresden, Saturday Night Live writer, former Cracked writer, quote, in quotes, Republicans won't stop until all women who have sex consensually bleed to death in an alley. And then space, and then another quote. I'm sorry, man, but that won't all fit on one cake. You can follow me at Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about on today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. You can also find those in the information about the episode that you're listening to right now on whatever application you're listening to it on. Miles, what song are we going to ride out on today?
I was just, late. You remind me of hip-hop. And I was just thinking of, I was just kind of going through some songs that I really liked. And there's one track that I like off the Mad Villain album, which is a collaboration between MF Doom and Madlib. And one of my favorite songs on that is this track, Accordion. So put that in your earbuds and keep an eye out like I Captain is one of my favorite rhymes in that song. Anyway.
Okay.
Mad Villain, Accordion.
Enjoy that. Enjoy your weekend. We will be back on Monday for another week of Daily Zeitgeist. That's a good catchphrase,
yeah.
Right? All right. That works.
I'm slowly backing out of the room.
We will talk to you guys then. Bye.
Bye.
Living off borrowed time, the clock tick faster. That'll be the hour they knock the slick blaster. Dick Dastardly and Muttley with sick laughter. A gunfight and they come to cut the mix master. ICE Cole, nice to be old. Y2G Steve twice to threefold. He sold scrolls, lo and behold. Know who's the illest ever, like the greatest story told. Keep your glory, gold and glitter. For half of his niggas to take him out the picture. The other half is rich and it don't mean shit to. Villain, a mixture between both with a twist of liquor. Chasing with more beer, tasting like truth or dare. When he at the mic, it's like the place get like, oh yeah. It's like they know what's about to happen. Just keep your eye out like I capping. Is he still a fly guy clapping if nobody ain't hear it? And can they testify from in the spirit? And living the true gods, giving y'all nothing but the lick like two broads. Got more lyrics than the church, got ooh lords. And he hold the mic in your attention like two swords. Or either one with two blades on it. Hey you, don't touch the mic like it's AIDS on it. Yeah, it's like the end to the means. Fuck type of message that sends to the fiends. That's why he bring his own needles and get more cheese than Doritos, Cheetos or Fritos. Slip like Freudian, your first and last step to playing yourself like accordion. When he at the mic, you don't go next. Leaving pussycats like why hoes need Kotex. Exercise index won't need Bowflex. And won't take the one with no skinny legs like Joe Tex.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.